If you know what Colonel Harland Sanders is famous for. Half a hand, one and a half hands, there we are. He's famous for Kentucky Fried Chicken. He was a religious man all his life. He always gave away 10% of what he took, which is a lot of money because KFC became very, very successful. Committed church member, but as he got older, he wasn't sure if he'd get to heaven. He didn't have that confidence, just like some of you, churchgoers. But he wasn't sure that when he breathed his last, he'd go to heaven. And so he tried a different church. And on this particular day, he clearly heard the gospel. He really heard it. He heard from Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And right there and then, he was saved. He was 79, and he had a brand new start, a fresh start. He could start again at 79. Well, there's my title, Starting Again. There was a teacher I knew a long time ago. There was an embarrassing rumor about him and a sixth former, and so he applied for a teaching post in the Caribbean. Why? To have a fresh start, so he could start again, where nobody would know about his track record and his the rumors of tarnished reputation and so on. There was another teacher, locally actually, that I'd met. It was inspection week. The inspectors arrived, but he didn't. He rang in on Monday morning sick. And the other teachers were furious with him, and he couldn't face them. And months and months went by, and I'd go to the school to take assemblies, and I'd say, what happened to Mr. Bloggs? And they'd say, don't know. And eventually then, after a few years, I said, did you ever hear anything about him? He just dropped off the radar, they said. So he'd gone somewhere else, miles away. What for? To start again. To start again. Now, have you ever felt your need spiritually to start again with God? To have, as we were rightly hearing in the kid's story, all your sins forgiven so you could start again? This famous passage has got a late night clandestine meeting between a religious, moral guy, Nicodemus, and the Son of God. And we find that Nicodemus is stunned into silence when Jesus tells him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You need a brand new beginning. You need to start again. You need to slate wiped clean. And there's no evidence in this passage that Nicodemus understands a word. There's no evidence at all that Nicodemus is a changed man as a result of the words that Jesus says in this passage. And some of the things that Nicodemus hears here really shocked him. But there is evidence later on in the Bible that Nicodemus is a changed man, that he has eventually, the penny has dropped. Eventually he does see his need. Because here's an esteemed religious leader trying his best to meticulously tick the boxes and keep the law of God. And Jesus stuns him by telling him, a bit later than the passage that's on the screen, a few verses later, Jesus says, nobody has ever been good enough to get into heaven except him, Jesus, who came from heaven. Nobody's ever been good enough. Now, there must have been a real slap across the face for Nicodemus. He's trying his best. He's trying his best. And nobody's ever been good enough. All the religious ritual, attendance, praying, reading, singing, serving, none of it is good enough for heaven. Now, this affects you and affects me. None of it is good enough. Now, perhaps you don't feel the seismic shock of that. I'm sure Nicodemus did. That's why he shut up. That's why he's quiet. He doesn't understand. He's out of his depth. I can picture him saying, hang on now. Rabbi, hang on now, Jesus. I'm a grown man. How can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? See, he doesn't get a clue. He doesn't know what a fresh start is. Some of you don't really know what I'm talking about. You haven't been born again. He's confused, Nicodemus. He's shocked. Because Jesus is talking on an entirely different spiritual level to what Nicodemus has ever known. Have you ever been in Nicodemus' situation? Have you ever tried to change? See, it's one thing to have a fresh start. That's great. But it's another thing to be changed. To be so changed I heard a really silly story many years ago of two prisoners in a cell. Been a bit on the news this week about prisoners, isn't it? Two prisoners in a cell, and they both realise when they've been banged up on previous occasions, they both shared a cell with a career criminal called Bugsy. And one of them says, "Oh, you know Bugsy? Oh, yeah. Have you heard anything about Bugsy?" "Yeah." The other fellow says, "Yeah, I've heard. You know, he's done Open University." "Has he? He's got a master's degree in sociology. Has he? Bugsy. Bugsy with a master. With an MA. Wow. So he doesn't steal anymore." "Oh yeah, he still steals, but now he knows why." Now the thing is, you see, you can't change what you are. You can't change what you are. We need more than a clean slate. We need a clean slate, but we need more than that. We need to be changed. Some years ago, I think it's only John Morgan and myself present. There was about four or five of us. John had a lorry in those days. And we moved house for a family from one side of the hill down to Mayhill. Five of us turned up and loaded all the stuff in. And I have to say, and I'm being polite, the house we moved the stuff from was smelly and scruffy. And the council had immaculately prepared the house in Mayhill. Within a few weeks, the house in Mayhill was smelly and scruffy. The point, we need to be changed. Spiritually, we can be like those people, you see. You can try and plonk us in a new environment, and we may, and that seems clean, but we need to be changed. I can remember when I heard John Lennon's song, "And So This Is Christmas and What Have We Done?" I wasn't a Christian. It bothered me, because that lyric, "So this is Christmas and what have we done, another year," and I just thinking, hang on, yeah, I was thinking to myself, yeah, 12 months have gone by, are you any better now than you were? I was thinking to myself, are you any less selfish now? I was a very selfish guy, I loved it, I enjoyed myself, you know, I looked to myself all the time, I wanted to pamper myself, and here was this lyric coming out of the of John Lennon's mouth, "And so this is Christmas and what have we done, another year old," I was thinking, yeah, actually, what have I done? And then Greg Lake, he passed away last week, his song, "And They Show Me the Dream of Christmas." They said there'd be peace on earth. I remember that because I was a grown-up. I was in my 30s, and Christmas was boring for me. But I had two little kids, and they loved it. I was excited because they were excited. But when that lyric came, "They Show Me the Dream of Christmas," I started to think, hang on, is that what I'm doing to my kids? Am I selling them the dream? And pretty soon they'll be like me, disillusioned with it, bored, unless they have kids. Do you see? I was bothered, but I wasn't bothered enough. I was only bothered briefly. I never at that time saw my need to start again with Jesus, to start again with God. I continued to waste my life, and I did waste my life. There were plenty of things I'd done I wasn't proud of, but I refused to feel bad for any length of time. Some years ago, some of you know, there were some people who came here and they had a slogan, "I don't do guilt." Well, I didn't have a slogan, but that was my philosophy. If I started to feel a bit bad about myself, I made sure I didn't feel bad for long, just got it out of my head. Here's Nicodemus. And just like, although I wasn't religious and Nicodemus was, he seems to be successfully suffocating, smothering the spiritual truth that's coming from Jesus to him. I wonder you doing the same. See, the Bible insists we need this new life. We've got to be born again because we are spiritually dead. My will is not dead. My will is very active, and I use my will to sin all the time. That's why I need a new start. That's why I need to be born again. Because my will needs to be brought to the place where I can actually hear from God and he can hear from me. I need to be tuned into God. And humanly speaking, without this supernatural experience of being born again, I can't do that. Unless I'm granted new spiritual life, I can't communicate with God. I can't be his friend. I can't. Some of you are like that. You know, I was talking to somebody not so long ago. He's in church, he's trying his best and so on, but he doesn't know God. And he actually had the honesty to say, "I don't know him, and I struggled really to pray to him. Well, of course you do, because you don't know him. You're not going to talk to the wall. Who wants to talk to the wall? So he can't pray because he doesn't know him. And he doesn't know him because he's not born again. Here's an illustration. About 8 or 9 years ago, somebody gave me a second-hand DVD recorder. They were surplus to their requirements. And I set the clock, and I put the TV on the right channel, and I set the start and end times on the program. But unknown to me, it was state-of-the-art, this DVD recorder had 3 input channels, which I didn't know about. So I had successfully taped from an input that had nothing coming into it. So I had taped it, all right, I'd used the DVD properly. But unfortunately, I wasn't picking up any signal. And unless we're born again, that's what we like. That's why some of you just can't be enthusiastic about Jesus. And you don't quite understand when you're sitting next to somebody who is. You don't quite get it. Why are they so excited? Why? Because you try to be excited, but you can't sustain it because you need this new life. I was talking to a fella not so long ago, Chris, we'll call him. He's a member in another church. Oh, enthusiastic to talk about his family, about his hobbies, about his car, about his house. But when you got the conversation onto Jesus, he couldn't think of anything to say. He was straining and struggling to try and keep up the level of enthusiasm. But now this was a topic he didn't know anything about, you see. Because he hasn't been born again. I read yesterday, Psalm 32, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Are you blessed? Do you know everything is gone? Do you know that everything's been forgiven? Forgiven. One of the top 10 objections to the Christian message still in UK is the church is full of hypocrites. Now, I know there are various responses. Some people say, no, it's not full of hypocrites. Other people say, well, there's plenty of room for more hypocrites. You come and be another one. I know there's plenty of responses. But I think it is a valid criticism. And the reason there are always going to be hypocrites in church is that some are not born again. They can't help but be hypocrites. They haven't got eternal life. Have you got eternal life? Are you saved? Are you born again? I read Psalm 33. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all mankind. Oh, yeah, that's thrilling in one respect that he watches. But isn't that terrifying? He watches all of us. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. Every second he's watched you. And so this is Christmas, and what have we done? He watched you last Christmas. He's watching you now. And I have to be honest, some of you, there's no change. You know, there's no change. The Lord looked down 12 months ago. You're still the same as you were then. And you're not bothered. I remember when I was a young Christian and teaching up in Maesteg, and you still took the year 11 rugby team, and took them down to another school to play a match, and got off the bus, and I hadn't seen this bloke for years, this teacher at the other end, and he said, shook my hand, how are you going then? I said, I've become a Christian. And he said, oh, well, still basically the same bloke, though. Well, no, I said, which obviously stunned him. Was I still the same bloke, except now I went to church and learnt all these flowery spiritual things? No, I wasn't the same bloke. I reminded myself this week of a story I heard years and years ago about Audrey and Ricky. Audrey was the young mother, Ricky was her baby who was born, and Ricky grew up, he never knew his mother, and he became a stroppy teenager. And nobody cares about me, nobody has ever loved me, that kind of thing. And so the person who was trying to look after Ricky said, I'm going to take you on a drive. And they took him on a long drive, and they came to this humpback bridge, and they parked the car, and then the lady took Ricky down under the humpback bridge and said, Ricky, this is where I found you. And you keep saying nobody's ever cared about you. Your mother's name was Audrey. I found you, it was winter. I'd broken down my car, And when I got out of the car, I could hear you crying, and I went down there, and there you were. You had your mother's jumper on. You had your mother's coat on to keep warm. She froze to death. Somebody loved you that much. And I love that, telling that story in the one sense, because Jesus Christ came to die. Not an accident. Didn't freeze to death. He laid down his life so that you can be born again. He laid down his life in a sense so we can pick it up. We can have that life. Now, have you got that life? Or are you going to be just like those words in that song, and so this is Christmas and nothing's happened? Amen.